For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And today we are launching into a brand new conversation called freedom. And looking at this unbelievable thing that God has brought into our lives, this unbelievable truth that God has brought into our lives, this freedom that God has brought into our lives. This past week, I had the opportunity to sit down with a friend of mine who works and has really spent most of his life working to be able to fight for Latin American and African American rights and trying to be able to fight for those communities. And we were sitting down and I was talking to him and talking through how that's going and encouraging him and what he's doing. And he was sharing with me some of the stories of what was happening. And as we were talking and working through this, both on a personal level and then also on a practical level, I asked him, I said, let me just ask you one thing. What is it that you want for these people? What is it that you want? And he said, I want access. And I looked at him. And I said, I think you need to fight for something bigger. He did not like my answer. Some of you don't like my answer right now. I said, listen, I'm not telling you that what you're fighting for isn't important. I think it's critical. I think it's crucial. I think it's important. I think it needs to be fought for. But I said, if that's the thing that you're fighting for the most, if that's the highest thing that you're fighting for, you're going to be disappointed. Because you see, the problem in our world and the problem with our culture, it's not just a law problem. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. It's interesting, when Jesus launches his public ministry, the moment that Jesus launches his public ministry, he does so in a very intriguing way. It comes out of nowhere. Up until this point, he's really just been behind the scenes. Hasn't really done anything to draw attention to himself, hasn't done anything to really tell people who he is or what he's about. And then one day he stands up in the synagogue. He stands up in the synagogue and he reads from a scroll. It says that he stepped up and he opens the scroll and he reads from the scroll. I just want to take you to this passage. It says that he stands up and this is what he read. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. And the time of the Lord's favor has come." He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." He's been behind the scenes, he's been in the shadows, hasn't drawn any attention to himself, and then he stands up in that synagogue. And if you look at it for what it is, the moment is powerful. The moment is intense. If it were to play out today, this is how I envision it looking. He stands up, and they hand him the scroll, they hand him God's word, he opens up to the book of Isaiah, he's got his microphone. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." It says he rolls up the scroll, hands it back to the attendant, and sits down. He reads that passage, rolls up the scroll. And he didn't have a mic. He probably just dropped the scroll. Boom. And then he sits down Everybody's looking at him, and listen to what he says. He says, the scripture you've just heard has just been fulfilled this very day. Let me paraphrase that for you. He sits down, everybody's looking at him, and he says, that just happened. That just happened. And this is the beginning of it all. That moment is the beginning of it all. And he says, I want you to know something. I want you to know why I'm here. I'm going to start it this way because I want you to know why I'm here. I want you to know what I'm about. And I'm about freedom. I'm here to bring freedom. I'm about freedom. Just in case you don't know, I'm going to start it like this so that you know this is why I'm here. This is what I'm about. I'm about freedom. The depths of that freedom are uncharted. Throughout the past year, we've been looking at some of what that freedom brings into our lives, the joy that it brings into our lives, the victory that it brings into our lives. The depths of that freedom are uncharted. But as we've talked about many, many, many times here at Hoboken Grace, he's completely misunderstood in this. He's completely misunderstood in this. Because when he says, I'm here to bring freedom, they all think he's here to bring freedom from Rome. He's here to bring freedom from the circumstances. He's here to bring, when he says that the oppressed are going to be set free, we're the oppressed. He's going to set us free from these circumstances and from our oppressors. This is the freedom that he's come to bring. But Jesus says, No. I'm here for something bigger than that. I'm here for something bigger than that. I'm here for something more important than that. I'm here for something more significant than that. And there's a point at which they come to him and they say, listen, when are you going to overthrow Rome and establish us as the rulers like we used to rule? Remember how we used to rule the world and now Rome rules us? And when are you going to flip this thing? When are you going to reshuffle this thing? And Jesus says, no, that's not why I'm here. I'm here for something bigger than that. He said, the problem isn't just a law issue. The problem is a heart issue. The problem is a heart issue. One of the really unique things that the scriptures teach us that's often underrated when we talk about God's word is the reality that the law can't actually set you free. In the book of Galatians, as Paul's trying to talk to them about what it is that brings freedom, the entire book of Galatians is about freedom. As he's talking to them about it, he's calling them to this reality. Listen, you can't find freedom by the law. You can't even find freedom with God's law. God's law, it doesn't bring freedom. It doesn't actually accomplish freedom. Listen to how he says it in Galatians chapter 3. It says, is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Because the whole time he's been saying, listen, the answer isn't found in the law. The answer isn't found even in God's law. He says, is there a conflict between them? Absolutely not. He said, if the law could give us new life, we'd be made right with God by obeying it. He said, if the law could set us free, we'd be made right with God. We would be restored through it. It could save us. He says, but the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. He says, listen, the freedom that you crave, the freedom that you long for, the freedom that you want, the freedom that the world needs, it doesn't come from the law. It doesn't even come from God's law. Because there's a bigger problem than that. It's not just a law problem. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that there aren't times for laws to change. There are laws that need to change, and we need to fight for that. But what Jesus is saying is, listen, you guys have to wake up to the fact that it's not a law problem, it's a heart problem. And I'm not here to just deal with the surface. I'm here to deal with the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is a heart problem. It's a heart problem. He says, I could reshuffle the deck, but you would just treat them the way that they treat you. It's a hard problem. It's a hard problem. And I'm not just here to deal with the surface. I'm here to deal with what's destroying you and what's turning you against each other and what's driving hate and why it is that rather than caring for one another, you take advantage of one another. So I'm here to deal with what's happening in here. Because it's time. It's time for people to be set free. It's time for there to be freedom. But it doesn't begin out here. It begins in here. It begins in here. And Jesus is what you need. What the world needs is not just for the circumstances or the structures to change. What the world needs is not just for a reshuffling. The world needs an entirely new game. So what the world needs is a new heart. What the world needs is a new heart. In Galatians, as he's struggling through this with them, and he's talking to them about, listen, the law isn't going to save you. It's not going to free you. It's not the answer to what you're looking for. He talks to them about what has freed them. Listen to what he said, what has freed him. Listen to what he says in Galatians chapter 2. He says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, what has brought me freedom is not what's happened in the circumstances around me. What's brought me freedom is that I'm a new person, that I'm no longer who I used to be. Jesus says, what the world needs is a new heart. And here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus isn't in the therapy business. Jesus isn't in the therapy business. He doesn't come in and say, listen, I'm going to strengthen your old heart. He doesn't come in and say, I'm going to walk you through some things that are going to make your old heart better. No, he comes in and says, no, we got to get rid of the old thing. And we got to start over. Jesus isn't in the therapy business. He's in the transplant business. And he says, it's time to start over. It's time to start over. And we're going to get rid of the old one. And we're going to bring in a new one. One of the misconceptions that we have about the message of Jesus is that we think, and typically when I hear people talking about the message of Jesus, they communicate that the message of Jesus is about what we do. So oftentimes when I hear people sharing the gospel, they talk about, or the good news of Jesus, which is what the gospel means. When I hear people talking about, they'll talk about what we do. They'll talk about our actions and how we need to be forgiven for our actions and the way that we've hurt people or the way that we've hurt God and the different things that we've done. And it's all about our actions and that we need to be forgiven for our actions. That's not actually the problem that Jesus calls us to. That's not actually the thing that Jesus points us to. He says, the problem isn't really what you do. The problem is who you are. He says, the problem is your heart. The way that the scriptures talk about this, as you're reading through God's word, if you're reading through it, which I highly encourage you to do, you need to take in God's word to hear what Jesus has been teaching you and what he wants to teach you. And when you read through it, you're going to hear this word frequently, this word nature, your nature. You're going to hear about an old nature and a new nature. He's talking about who you are. He says what happens out here is really, it's inconsequential. It's just the outworking of who you actually are. Which is why he's frequently saying to the Pharisees, it doesn't matter what you do out here, I know who you are. So I know your heart. And what you need is a new heart. The problem that you have with your spouse is a heart issue. It's not just an actions issue. It's a heart issue. And I know some of you are thinking, yes, he has a heart issue. No, I'm talking about you. It's a heart issue. The problem that we have with anger is a heart issue. The problem that we have with greed is a heart issue. The problem that we have with hate is a heart issue. And Jesus doesn't command and say, listen, you just need to stop doing that. He doesn't, no, that's not what he does. He comes in and says, no. You need a new heart. And Jesus doesn't just come in and say, I want to give my life for you to be forgiven. He says, I want for you to be new. This is why in the New Testament, they don't just celebrate the cross. One of the things that they celebrate constantly is the resurrection. They're not just celebrating the fact that we're forgiven. They're celebrating the fact that we get to be made new. It's not just the fact that what has been done is paid for. I don't want to just be forgiven. I want to be made new. I don't want to just not have to pay for what I've done. I want to love my wife better. I don't want to just be forgiven. I want to be able to love my kids better. I don't want to just be forgiven. I don't want to be greedy. I want to be generous. I want to be made new. I need a new heart. I don't just need to be forgiven. I need to be saved. We live in a world that needs a new heart. And some of you are here today and you need a new heart. You need to be made new. And you're trying to change all of what's happening out there. You're trying to do better and you're striving and you're working. But you've never actually asked Jesus to make you new. You've never actually come to the point where you said, you know what, the old me needs to die, and I need to be made new. The world needs, and we need, a new heart. And the freedom that Jesus wants to bring to you, and the freedom that Jesus wants to bring to the world, it starts there. It starts with a new heart. I'm no longer who I used to be. A heart that no longer runs from God, a heart that's no longer driven by selfishness, a heart that no longer craves what it can just get for itself, but a heart that runs after God. A heart that longs for what he longs for. A heart that values people based on who created them, not their color. A heart that puts your spouse above yourself. And Jesus has given his life, and he rose from that tomb. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. He gave his life, and he rose from that tomb because he wants you to have that. And he wants you to know that. If you've never asked him to make you new, today is the day. Today is the day for you. For you to go before him and to acknowledge, I got a heart problem. And no matter how I try to change it, I can't fix it. I need a new heart. To ask him to forgive you, but beyond that, to embrace fact that you need a Savior, that we need a Savior. We have a heart problem. And if you will ask him to make you new, I promise you he will. He will begin to do in your life exactly what he did in Paul's life, exactly what he's done in so many of the lives who sit here today. He will begin to transform you, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Beginning with a new heart. You see, the freedom that Jesus has for you begins with the freedom, not from what's out here, but the freedom from you. It begins with a freedom from you. Your greatest enemy is not out there. Your greatest enemy is your old heart. And he says, I've come to set you free. It's time for you to be free. But you have to let me make you new. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be breaking down all of what that freedom looks like. We're going to do it in a unique way, in a way that we haven't done here at Hoboken Grace in a little while, because we're going to walk through the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, as I said earlier, is all about God's freedom. And he's writing to this group of churches, and he's saying to them, listen, you knew his freedom, but you're losing his freedom. And he's talking to them about how they're losing that freedom, and he's calling them back to the freedom that's theirs, and the freedom of what it means to be made new, and all of what that entails in their life, and all of what they're free from. And so we're going to walk through that and look at the power of that. I want to encourage you, depending on where you are, to take a next step during this series. If you're here and you're not in a dinner group, I want to encourage you to take the step of getting into dinner group for the next 5 weeks. You can stop by one of the connection points. They'll get you connected to a dinner group. Take that step. If you're here and you're in a dinner group, but you're not reading through God's word consistently, here's my challenge to you for the next 5 weeks. Pick up the book of Galatians and read one chapter from that book every week for the next 5 weeks. So this week, you're going to read Galatians chapter 1. If you've never read the Bible before, at the beginning of it, there's a table of contents. You can find the book Galatians, and you can go there and just read one chapter. Start there. If you're reading through God's word consistently, here's my challenge to you. Read through the book of Galatians every week. It's only 6 chapters long. Don't get freaked out. It's not going to take you very long. But read through it every week. So that as we walk through this, we can really dive into, okay, what is it that he's trying to help them understand as he's looking at this contrast between freedom and the law, and what is it that he's calling them to as far as them experience the fullness of that freedom? I love the verse that one of the last things that he shares with them, this verse in chapter 5 where he says this, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. He says, listen, Jesus came to set you free. Don't lose that. He says, it's for freedom that you've been set free. He says, Jesus did this. He did all of this for you to be able to experience that freedom. Don't lose it. And so over the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at the power of that and all that that means for your life and my life. But it starts here. It starts when we come to the realization and we step into, with Jesus, the truth that I need a new heart. It's not just that I need to change what I'm doing. I need a new heart. And for some of you, you've been journeying with us here at Hoboken Grace, and you're learning God's principles, and you're changing what's happening out here, and you're realizing that what God says is true. You're realizing because you're following him, and you're practicing different things out here, and you're seeing the benefits of that. But you haven't actually come to the point where you said, no, I need you to save me. Jesus, I need you to save me from me. I need a new heart. The journey to freedom. The journey to freedom for us. The journey for freedom for the world that we live in. It begins with a new heart. That's why it's so important what we do here. Because we're in the heart transplant business. We're here to share with people, to share with the world. You can have a new heart. You don't have to be that way anymore. You can have a new heart. Will you pray with me? For those of you who are here, who've never asked Jesus to give you that new heart, I want to encourage you right now to take the first step in freedom. To take the first step in freedom. To go to Him and to say to Him, I need a new heart. I need you to make me new. I can't fix this. I need you to save me. I need you to free me from me. I need you to free me from me. I need a new heart. And to trust the one who went to that cross, to trust the one who walked from that tomb, that He can do just that. And that right now He is. Father, I thank You for those in this room who this very moment are receiving a heart transplant. They are no longer who they used to be, and they are stepping into freedom. Father, I thank You for that. In Jesus' name.